Bibles tonight to the book of Revelations, chapter 7, actually chapter 6, we'll be looking a little bit there. I hope this is a shorter message, which don't mean anything. This morning's was, but what I wanted to do this evening is go back and explain. I skipped over the 144,000, I'm sure y'all noticed that last week. The reason why I did that, I didn't have time to deal with it. I think chapter 7 is the rapture. I still maintain that. I think that's what the rapture is described in chapter 7. But what I did is I looked over the 144,000 verses 1 through 8, which describes Israel. And that's what I wanted to do tonight, just look at that part of it. Now, remember our seals. I'm not going to go back over all the seals again because I've done went over it so many times. You should have it down pat. But right now what we're looking at is the sixth seal. And the sixth seal is the rapture. And that's what we're looking at right now as we're looking at the rapture. And that's what I think chapter 7, being the, it gives you a description of it. The seventh seal, you'll have that in chapter 8 and chapter 9. And then that is just really is destruction. We go out at the sixth seal. You need to be glad of that. You go out at the sixth seal, but the seventh seal is the destruction. Seventh seal is divided into seven trumpets. And a trumpet sounds, a judgment falls, another trumpet, judgment falls. Then they get to the seventh seal, and it's divided into seven bowls, or the seventh trumpet is divided into seven bowls of wrath. Angel comes. It's all figurative language, and what it shows you is just destruction. That's what the seventh seal is a picture of. If you can keep the seal straight, that'll help you all the way around. And if you can just remember that the sixth seal is the rapture and the seventh seal is destruction, that helps. These other five, of course, are going on now. They are going on now. And that's kind of the differences in the views that you look at. But this is the view that I'm teaching you. It's more historic. I think it fits well with Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. And I just think it's easier to follow the way that we look at it. It's more of a historical view. Well, what I'm going to do in looking, let's go ahead and go back to Revelation 6. And let's notice the sixth seal beginning to happen. It says, and I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, you go back to Matthew 24, 29, that's what you see. You see the same kind of description given when Jesus taught on and in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Same kind of description. There will be a great earthquake. And the sun will become black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon become as blood. What does that mean? It's going to be black. If you turn the sun black, how's that going to affect the moon? It's going to turn it black. You say, well, Jeff, blood's red. Blood's also black. And that's the idea of it here. So he's going to turn both of these lights. He's going to turn the lights out. It says, and the stars of heaven is going to fall on the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs. It's going to be a frightening day when the sixth seal begins to come to pass, which is the rapture. All of these things are judgments. It's falling. It says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, which describes like an earthquake. Things are going to be, it's going to be a frightening day. I think it's the book of Luke. One of the texts describes, says, men's hearts failing them for fear. It'll be a fearful day. It'll be a frightening day. It says, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks and the mountains. Again, you see the idea of what? Fear. They're afraid. They know something big's getting ready to happen. I'm sure not everybody realizes it's the second coming of Christ, but there will be a lot of people that sit in church services and study the book of Revelations like we have, and they're maybe never was saved, and they know what's happening. You can imagine how frightful and how fearful that would be. Verse 16, he said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. From the wrath of the Lamb. God is angry. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? All this wrath has been storing up year after year. Why hadn't He brought it down? Why hasn't He brought His wrath down? He's still got His people. He's still saving. He's still bringing in His lost sheep. He's still doing that. That's the only reason why He hasn't come yet. He's still got His people that He's saving. And like I've told you a billion times probably, when that last lost sheep is brought in, that's when He'll come. He knows who it is. He knows the time that it is. We don't. But when that happens, that's when He'll come. And He'll take all of His people out. All of His people will go out. And that's what the sixth seal is a picture of. You have all this wrath getting ready to fall. And then what He does is He takes His people out. Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13 all describes exactly what's described in Revelation chapter 6. So they all go together. It'll be a frightening day. Aren't you glad you're ready to go up when the Lord comes? Yeah, aren't you glad that you're ready to go when all these frightening things begin to happen? And then next thing you know the King's on His way. And before He drops all this judgment down, all this wrath down, before He's going to destroy it, according to the book of 2 Peter 3, He's going to destroy it by fire. He doesn't destroy it once by water, but He will destroy it by fire. And that's what's going to happen. But before that happens, what's He going to do? Just like He did when He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, just like He did when He destroyed the world in Noah's day, He makes sure His people safe first. He gets them out first. Aren't you glad of that? We won't be here for that. And the book of Luke says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. Okay? All right, now we see the sixth seal beginning to happen in verses 12 through 17. And then we move into chapter 7, and it gives a description of 12 tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. And I think it's a good question to ask yourself, why would raptured saints be described like Israel? Don't y'all think that's a good question to ask yourself? Since the sixth seal is the rapture, why are the raptured saints here described as the 12 tribes of Israel? I think that's a good question to ask yourself. Well, let's go ahead and read that. Notice it will describe all 12 tribes, and it will describe the sealing of them. How many of them they are, and that's where we get to 144,000. It says, after these things, I saw four angels. They're standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth. See, here's these four angels. They're getting ready to bring down. Again, you have the idea of judgment. Have the idea of wrath. Do you see it right there? Four angels to whom it was given to do what to the earth? They're going to hurt it. And I'll tell you what, an angel could put a hurting, can't they? So he's four, and they're getting ready to bring all of this judgment down. Saying, here's what's saying. Here's this judgment's getting ready to fall, and he says, hurt not the earth. Don't hurt it yet. Neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now remember, this is figurative language. The seal, of course, pictures that these people belong to who? They belong to the Lord. They're His people. I don't think you literally have a number across them. It just simply means that they belong to Jesus. They belong to Him. And here they're described as Israel. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. The tribe of Asher, 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Manasseh, 12,000. Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. The tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, were sealed 12,000, and of the tribe of Joseph was sealed 12,000, and of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. So all told, how many is that? 144,000. And here these raptured saints are pictured. These raptured saints are pictured as Israel. Everybody got it? 12 tribes. It names all 12 tribes. They're pictured as what? They're pictured as Israel. Why are they pictured as Israel? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. This is all I'm going to do tonight because I don't want to go too real far. But what I want to do is ask you a question, and then I'm going to give you a lot of verses to look at. So try to stay with me in your Bible. Who is Israel under the new covenant is my question. We're under the new covenant. We're not under the old covenant no more. When Jesus died and rose again, that ushered in the new covenant. That's the covenant that we are under. Who is Israel under the new covenant? That's my question. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is show you how the New Testament describes Israel. It's different. And what I want you to do is mark these verses down and look at them on your way home, or not on your way home. Don't do it while you're driving. But wait till you get home and you look up these texts. Here's my question. Here's all these rapture saints depicted as who? They're depicted as Israel. All 12 tribes. Everybody got that? That's how they're depicted. Then in verse 9, there's a multitude which no man could number. So that's all the saved are depicted in this text. But why are they depicted as Jews? Now let me ask you a question before I continue on. Who is the Jews under the new covenant? Don't answer it, but who is the Jew, the true Jew? Who is the Jew under the new covenant? See, we're no longer under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant. My question to you is, who is the Jew under the new covenant? Now, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm just going to use the scriptures, a few texts of scripture, and I'm going to show you how the New Testament defines who the true Jew really is. That's all I'm going to do. And when I'm done with that tonight, I'll quit. I'll get done in 5 minutes, and then I'll quit. No, I want to give you these verses. I want you to look at these verses, and I want you to consider them. Now, notice what it says in the book of Romans chapter 2. Now, if you can't find things, don't try. But turn to Romans 2 if you can stay up with me, and I'm going to give you plenty of time to get there. My question, who is Israel under the new covenant? And the first thing I want to show you is how the New Testament, the book of Romans, defines the true Jew. Jeremy, I'm going to show you how the New Testament defines who the Jew is. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 2. It says, he is not a Jew, verse 28. Romans 2 and verse 28. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is not a Jew which is one what? It's not one outwardly. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one where at? Inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart. See, when you're born again, you've had a circumcised heart, so to speak. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Well, that defines who the true Jew is. I mean, that describes in the eye, when God looks down upon the earth, it describes who he views as being a Jew. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight, I'm a spiritual Jew. And if Jesus would come tonight, I'm going out. Everybody got me? So you think how great of a blessing back under the old covenant. Israel was tremendously blessed, was they not? They were given the scriptures. They were given the sacrifice system. They were given all these great blessings. And here under the new covenant, he brings us in and makes us Jews. Spiritual Jews under the new covenant. Verse 28 and 29. Really, you can't do nothing with that other. You can view it different, But it just defines who the true Jew is. A unbelieving Jew, one that never trusts the Messiah, they're not a true Jew. A true Jew is one that trusts the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. All God's people say it. That's what it says in the text. That's who. Now, I want to tell you a little something else. Sometimes when people talk about the Jews, they say, well, they're in blindness. Every sinner's in blindness. I mean, that's true of Gentiles too. Every sinner is in blindness. God is still saving Jews. Matter of fact, I met one that, I mean, there's Messianic Jewish congregations that seek the salvation of the Jews, and there's Jews being saved today. One particular blessing I got from being on Sermon Audio is I had a Messianic Jewish rabbi from up in, I think he's up in New Jersey, contacted me through the internet, and I thought, my. And he said he went on Sermon Audio, listened to a sermon, and then he listened to one of our sermons, and he liked it, so he sent. I thought it was nice of him to send me a little bit of encouragement, and he did. Well, I talked to him, and I looked him up. That man, he speaks four languages. He's not near as smart as I am. He speaks four languages. And what happened to him, I read his story, and what happened is he read the Torah in the synagogue. That's what he did. He read the Old Testament scriptures. And what happened is there was a little saved Jewish girl that trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, as her Savior. And here's what she said. She said, you know what I want you to do? Next time you read those scriptures, you look up all those passages concerning Yeshua. You look up all those passages. And he began to look at the passages concerning Jesus. And guess what the Holy Spirit did? He opened his eyes. And he seen that Jesus was the Messiah. That's why I thought was such a good person and a good opportunity, somebody to know. And I've been lost touch with him. You know how things go, but I lost touch with him. Used to be on the feast days like Passover. I'd send him a happy Passover or happy Feast of Trumpets. I enjoyed doing that. But he was saved. There's Jewish missions out there. And I realize that people say all the time that they're in blindness, but think just for a moment. Was you not in blindness before you were saved? I was blind, now I see. And the Lord is still saving Jews. He's saving Gentiles too. But he's made us spiritual Jews. And the true Jew is someone that has trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior, according to Romans 2:28. And 29. Now let's go to Galatians 3. You got the first point? All I'm going to do is give you these points and I'm going to quit and let you think about it. That's why the raptured saints are viewed as Jews, because they're true Jews under the new covenant. I'm a Jew. Jesus would come, I'd go out tonight. I'm a Jew in my heart, and that's what the Lord did for me. But Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to give you the evidence for it. You look at it yourself when you go home, dwell on it. First time I've seen it, I didn't like it that well. But then as I studied it, I thought, yeah, it makes good sense. Galatians chapter 3, and notice what it says. It says in verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now watch this in verse 20. Now let me stop just for a moment. If I'd ask you before I go any farther, who is Abraham's seed? Don't answer me, but if I'd ask you, who is Abraham's seed? What would you say? Well, look at verse 29. It tells you who Abraham's seed is, Abraham's descendants. It says, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed. You are Abraham's seed, and you're heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. Who's a true Jew? Romans 2:28 and 29 says they are those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. Jew or Gentile. Galatians 3:21, Abraham's seed, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. That's who Israel is under the new covenant. Do we love the physical Jew? Absolutely. Do we support? We have a Jewish mission. We support. We seek their souls. But they're not a true Jew until they trust the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. That's who the true Jew is. Okay? All right, now let's go to Philippians 3. I just preached on this not long ago. Now this, I always say this is going to be short and then it ends up being longer. But I just want to give you this tonight and go through it and let you think about it. What I'm trying to show you under the new covenant, what I'm showing you is under the new covenant, Israel is saved Jews and Gentiles. Everybody got me? That's who Israel is. I'll give you two verses for proof for that, and that was Romans 2:28 and 29. It just told you who is Abraham's seed. They that be of faith are Abraham's seed, Jew and Gentile. So if you're here tonight and you're born again, guess what? You are a spiritual what? You're a spiritual Jew. And you're going to sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? All right, now let's turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And I just got through preaching on this, but I didn't mention what I'm covering tonight. It's just a little something different. Now, what was another name for the Jew in the Old Testament? You remember? What did they call him? Called him the circumcision. And the reason why that was is that 8 days old, they circumcised every little Jewish boy. So what they would do is they would refer to the Jews as the circumcision. And they would refer to the Gentiles as the uncircumcision. That's what they called them. You remember when David went to fight against Goliath? He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They referred to the Gentiles as the uncircumcised. That's what they called them. They would refer to them as the uncircumcised. Well, now Paul comes and he's speaking to the Philippian. You got to remember, when he's writing to the Philippians, this is the Philippian church. It was a Roman colony. They were Gentiles. Saved Gentiles. Everybody got me? Now notice what he says. We are the circumcision. Stop. He says what? We. So he's talking, Henny, about himself, who was a Jew by physical birth, but he's also referring to the Philippian church as being the circumcised also. I think that's pretty cool. We are the circumcision. So he includes not only himself, but he's also including the church of Philippi. These men were Gentiles, but they trusted Christ. And they're viewed as being spiritual, what again? Spiritual Jews. We are the circumcision. Now it gives you the three actions of them. And it says that worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Messiah Jesus. Can I ask you a question tonight? You spiritual Jews, you, do you rejoice in Messiah Jesus? Do you worship God in the Spirit? Think about it. Do you have no confidence in your flesh? You know what I just described? That's who the circumcision is. Under the new covenant, that's who they are. There's your three characteristics. They worship God in the Spirit. They rejoice in Messiah Jesus. And they don't have no confidence in their flesh. Can I ask you a question? Who is their confidence in? Somebody say it. Their confidence is in Jesus. All Jesus. That's who God's people are. Saved Jews and saved Gentiles. That's who the circumcision is under the new covenant. We've received a spiritual circumcision through Christ. Okay? Now let's move on to Galatians chapter 4. The book of Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to go back over this towards the end if I got time. Galatians chapter 4. How many Jerusalems are they, beloved? Be careful before you answer. And maybe you shouldn't answer. How many Jerusalems are they? There's two. There's earthly Jerusalem. And where's the other Jerusalem at? New Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is where at? Above. Okay. Which one is our city? Y'all, you think about that. Which one is our city? That's what it says in Galatians chapter 4. And let's notice Galatians chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem. Now I want you to get this. I want you to look at the latter part of verse 25. It says, Jerusalem, which now is, what's it say about Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her what? With her children. They're in what? They're in bondage with her children. Verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is, where at? Above, is free, which is the mother of us all. All God's people say it. Hey, let me ask you a question. Where's the mother city at? It's not over in the Middle East. The mother city's New Jerusalem. I dare say, beloved, people talk more about earthly Jerusalem than they do New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is our city. New Jerusalem is our home. And one of these days, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go to the mother city. It says, look back at verse 26, Jerusalem which is above. Where's Jerusalem which is above at? He's talking about it. It's just another description of heaven. It's called New Jerusalem. All God's people say it. I mean, I'm just giving you these to look at. It's been a long time since I've covered. I'm just showing you why the raptured saints are described as Israel, are described as Jews, because we are spiritual Jews. A Jewish person by physical birth, when they get saved, they become a spiritual Jew. Part of the same kingdom as us. That's why the Bible says that we'll sit down in the kingdom with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Were they Jews? Yes. Am I a Jew? Yes. By new birth. Not by physical birth, but by new birth. Okay? All right. Now let's turn to Ephesians 2. Now I feel more comfortable now. Not that I felt that bad before, but I feel more comfortable because I'm going to get all the. I wanted to get this done tonight. You need to know who Israel is under the new covenant. Things changed when Jesus died on Calvary. He fulfilled the old covenant. I'm going to say something, but I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. Everybody talks about rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the temple. They could rebuild 10 temples. It wouldn't be God's house. Jesus fulfilled what the temple worship pointed to. I mean, what did they do at the temple? Do you remember? They offered what? They offered sacrifices. The reason why Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper out of the Passover is because there was no more Passovers. Jesus fulfilled the Passover when he died on Calvary. And he instituted the Lord's Supper. It's not a sacrifice, but it's a picture of one. All God's people say it. I just want you to, you know, to understand that. That's just the way it is. You say, well, they're getting ready to breed the red heifer. I hear things like that all the time. Well, let them breed 20 of them. That's not going to change the fact that the sacrifices have been fulfilled. That's the reason why Jesus, when he was here, started the church. And in the church, what do? We carry his commission. We make disciples. We baptize. And we teach his word. That's what churches are for. They instruct people in his word. All right, let's move to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now I'm going to read. Now I want you to write these down, and I want you to look at them when you go home. I think the Jew under the new covenant is the saved Jew and Gentile. Saved Jew and Gentile, that's who I think they are. Ephesians chapter 2, notice what it says. Now I'm going to, this is going to be verses 11 through 20 of Ephesians 2. And I'm going to read them. I want you to follow along as I read. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past were Gentiles. Now the Ephesus church was a church of Asia. It was a Gentile church. They may have had some Jewish members, but I don't know. But it says in verse 11, wherefore, remember that in time past ye were Gentiles in the flesh. What were the Ephesians? They were Gentiles. Who are called the uncircumcision by them which are called the circumcision made with hands. That at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now that shows you Israel under the old covenant. Who was mainly saved under the old covenant? It was mainly Jews. It was mainly Jews in the Old Testament. He gave them the scripture. He gave them the temple. He gave them the priesthood. He did all of that. He gave it to them. He gave them the scriptures. By far the most, there was just some Gentiles saved in the Old Testament, but not nowhere near as Israel. So that's why, look back at verse 12 now. That at that time ye were without Christ, without Messiah, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Having no hope. Without Jesus, you have no hope. Having no hope. And you go back in the Old Testament, you know, most of the Gentile nations were all idol worshipers. They worshipped idols. They worshipped the works of their own hands. Israel had the truth. They had the temple. They had the law. They had the scriptures. They had the priesthood. They had all these things. Would you look back at verse 13? Look down at verse 13 now. But now. Everybody say, but now. But now. See, he's changing here. But now things are different. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were afar off, it's talking about the Gentile, ye who were afar off are made near, or made nigh means to be made near. How are you made near? By what? By the blood of Christ. We're made near. We're brought in. We're made apart. He made us spiritual Jews. And we have a home in the Father's house. That's why he told his disciples, many will come from the east and the west, the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom with who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I can imagine Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sitting over there, and there comes Jack and Larry sitting down. Let's talk a little bit about the Lord here. I mean, just think about it. We're going to sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because we're part of the same kingdom. He's made us Jews. He's brought us in. He's made us apart. Aren't you glad? It's a glorious thing. All right, Ephesians 2. Wherefore, remember in time past, you are Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but them who are called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In time past, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he is our peace, he has made both one. He made both what? Who's the both? Jew and Gentile, we're one. We're part of the same nation. We have the same king. We're part, what's the nation called we're a part of? Israel. The Israel of God, and I'll show you that after a while. But he made us both one. I get emotional about that. I'm sorry, but I get emotional about that because I know how I don't deserve that. I think that's a big deal. Gentiles have always been on the outside, so to speak, looking in, and he's come in and made us both one. Made us both what? Made us both one. All right, keep with me, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath broken down, who hath made both one. Now, I want you to know something. He broke down the middle wall of partition between us. I want you to look at that. He broke down the middle what? The middle wall of partition. What's that talking about? Think about it. What is that talking about? You know, if you went to the temple back in the days of the master, there was about a 3-foot high, I guess you'd call it a fence or a wall. I should call it a wall. It's about a 3-foot tall wall. And that was the court of the Gentiles. And you could just come to that part. You could be a Jewish proselyte, but you couldn't go in into it. There was a wall that prohibited you from doing that. And it would have signs on it. No Gentile can enter. And there was a partition between us and the Jew and the Gentile were kept separate, even in Judaism. They kept them separate. They kept them separate at the temple. That's why that middle wall. So when it says, he is our peace, and he made both one, and he broke down that middle wall, a partition between us. That's under the new covenant. He's made us both one, both Jew and Gentile. We're one. We're part of the same kingdom, have the same king, have the same heavenly home, and we are spiritual Jews. Spiritual Jews. Now notice Ephesians 2. And let's just read on down through the text. I ain't born yet, am I? No. Boy, you should be pumped up. Boy, I am. Ephesians 2. Everybody see where they broke that middle wall down? That's talking about the temple. There was a partition that kept the Gentiles away from the Jews. And now he's brought us in and made us both what again? Well, you're a spiritual Jew. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of ordinances contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man. And so making peace. That he might reconcile, look at verse 16, that he might reconcile both, that's both Jew and Gentile. He may reconcile both unto God that he might reconcile both, that's Jew and Gentile, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and he preached peace to you which were afar off. Who's those that were afar off? Gentiles. He came and he preached peace to you that were afar off and to them that were near. Verse 19. Now, I tell you what, if verse 19 don't fire you up, your wood's wet. Look at verse 19. Now, therefore, listen to this. No more, Larry, get this. No more strangers. No more are you a stranger or a foreigner. Now, what does it tell you you are in verse 19? You're a fellow what? All right, stop. You're a fellow what? What's the name of your nation? Israel. Israel. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household and of the household of God. All God's people say it. I think that's who Israel is under the new covenant. The book of Galatians, I forgot to look that up for you. Let me see if I can find it. I think it's Galatians 6:16. If that's not right, I can tell you what it says. Yeah, Galatians 6. Thank you, Lord. Here's something I want you to underline in your Bible, if you underline. It says in verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. And mercy upon the, what's that title there? The Israel of who? The Israel of God. Now, if you underline in your Bible, underline Israel of God. Who is the Israel of God? Saved Jews and Gentiles under the new covenant. That's who Israel is today. Does God still save physical Jews? He sure does. Could he save a great host of physical Jews according to the flesh? Could he save a great host of them? He sure could. But all I'm trying to say with all the text that I gave you, that under the new covenant, the true Jew is saved Jews and Gentiles. Those that have trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, those that have been made alive by the Holy Spirit, that have trusted the Messiah, you're a spiritual Jew. All God's people said. And that's the reason why in Revelation 7, you have them being taken out and they're viewed as being Israel. All God's people said again. Oh, and I'm going to stop with that. I'm glad I did. You think about it, and you don't have to believe it. You that don't bother me a bit. People have different views of Revelations, but I think that's who Israel is under the new covenant. That doesn't hinder us from seeking the salvation of the physical Jew, does it? Who brought us the gospel? The Jews did. Did you realize that? We need to return the favor. We need to return the favor. And that's why we support Jewish missions. All right, let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this evening.